There are different chores around the house that growing up, some of us may have spent time on the stool in front of the kitchen sink, elbows deep in soap suds, washing dishes and then putting them away. Others of us might have set our watch twice a day, remembering to feed the dog first thing in the morning and then again in the early afternoon. Others of us might have been assigned that task of vacuuming the living room every week, even though no one ever sat in the living room. Or we might have been sent outside every week to clean up the sticks all throughout the front yard. And if that was our job, we quickly realized that we had less to do as long as the sun was shining. That it didn't take us long to figure out that it's when the storms poured down that all the withering branches on the trees would fall to the ground. And perhaps that was our first clue about life. That it is the storms of this life that fill our yard with broken branches. And it is difficult to discover that for the very first time. And there are defining moments for us along the way. I will never forget coming home from an early class my junior year in college, and I plopped down on the couch and turned on the television only to see the students fleeing the buildings at Columbine High School. Two students had entered the school that day with firearms. And the world changed. My world changed. I had never seen an event like that. It was the first time I was confronted with that type of tragedy. And unfortunately, it was not the last. And it is so hard to watch our children discover tragedy in this world in ways that God never intended. And it reminds us of the importance of the church, a community surrounding our children and walking with them throughout this life, teaching them to love the way God loves and to be concerned about the things for which God is concerned and to celebrate what God celebrates or to weep over what God weeps over. And as the book of Hebrews says, to run that race with perseverance. And this race is not a sprint. It's not a 40-yard dash where we just have to run as fast as we can for a handful of brief seconds. And it's also not just a marathon, only requiring from us stamina and endurance. It's more like that lesser-known race, the steeplechase. It's over a mile. You run as fast as you can the entire time, and it's full of all these obstacles. There are barriers and water jumps, throwing elbows from other runners, thinking about our pace, giving it all that we have, leaping hurdles and overcoming walls. It's why we not only teach our children to put their best foot forward, but we also teach them that sometimes it's just about putting the next foot forward. And it's why we lean on that great cloud of witnesses, the people near to us. We feel this need when we begin caring for children in our lives is why there's so many book titles about parenting. It is endless on that shelf at the bookstore. Titles like Siblings Without Rivalry, or How to Talk So Your Kids Will Listen, or Listen So Your Kids Will Talk, or Parenting from the Inside Out, and the list just keeps going. But if we were to read all of those titles, it would send our anxiety through the roof, worried about every last detail. When we were brand new parents, reading all of those books, worried about things like sleep schedules and everything else, we walked around with this cloud of anxiety over our heads. And I remember we were talking to a friend of ours who had already been down that road, and we were quoting references and mentioning book titles, and she could see our anxiety, and she finally said, "Just throw the books away." That many times our best source of wisdom is that great cloud of witnesses at hand around us. And we are called to be that great cloud of witnesses for the children of the church. People who taught them to love the way God loves and to be concerned about the things for which God is concerned, to celebrate in this life what God celebrates, or to weep over what God weeps over, and how to run the race with perseverance. That we're called to reassure them and to share with them, to challenge them and to remind them what is sacred. There's a story about a minister who finished up her closing remarks at a graveside service. It was a beautiful afternoon, not a cloud in the sky. There was an air of gratitude that just surrounded everyone as she told these stories from the life of their loved one, stories about how you could see God's goodness and grace in this person's life, stories that were comforting and inspiring. And when she finished and finally said the last amen, she lingered for a while, visiting with all the family members, because she knew this family quite well. But one person emerged out of the crowd and walked straight up to her, someone she had never seen before, did not recognize, and this person held a finger in her face and said, "I'm going to put you on my list." Well, that's not usually a good thing. You never wanted your name on the board in elementary school written by the teacher. You didn't want to be on the teacher's list. So this minister, keeping her composure, said, "Well, I hope that's not a bad thing." And the person said, "I keep a list of names of people who bring kindness and grace into this world. And when I read the headlines or worried about the news and I get anxious about this world, I pull out that list and I pray for those names. And they give me comfort." That we all need such a list, a great cloud of witnesses, both here around us and those names that have preceded us into the near presence of God. And as humbling as it sounds, we are called to be the names on that list for the children of the church, so that when they face what is hard in this life, they can reach down deep into their pockets and pull out that list and read the names of people who have showed them patience and perseverance, compassion and hope, grace and mercy. People who have taught them that God's love and goodness is never ending, and that it is okay to ask a question or to ask for help or to ask for forgiveness. That faith is never a solo performance, and that community is a sacred gift from God, and that to be great is to serve, and that we are never, ever alone. And that, for certain, is a rather steep calling. And perhaps on most days, we do not feel as if we have what is needed to live up to those expectations, at least by ourselves. One of the greatest things about elementary school is recess, isn't it? But another one of those great things are field trips. That you come home and get your parent to sign that permission slip, and you take it back to your homeroom teacher, and then the morning of the field trip, you put on that t-shirt of your elementary school so everybody's wearing the same color, because you're loading up the school bus that day and leaving campus to go do something new and to discover something exciting. Well, no matter where you were going or what you were doing, the best part of a field trip was lunch. Because on that day, everybody brought a sack lunch. And inside those brown paper bags was everything imaginable. And you knew when the time was right and the teacher was not looking, you could start trading lunch with others. That with the right negotiating skills, a plain peanut butter sandwich could become a little Debbie cake. Or we could unload our bag of carrots, well, for anything else. You could end up with the best lunch of the year. Well, it is the same with the church. That none of us have everything the children of the church need. But together, we have every single thing that is necessary. That we come to this place and we gather around the children of the church and we remain beside them as they run that race with perseverance, because that is our calling and it is also our gift. Amen.